is here. Let's do it. Could she do her song? She wants to do her song. Come on, Gwen.
take just a moment and pray and ask God that He would give us a fresh revelation of who He is today. You know, He never changes, but the way that we understand God unfolds. When you make the decision to come in and worship God, you get a little bit more of the picture of who He is. What that enables you to do is have something else to look at other than your problems and other than your weaknesses. So in just a moment, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray on it.
Anybody here ready to give God glory tonight? Did anybody come ready to testify of the Lord's goodness? Let's go then. Thank you.
Good morning, Ascend Church. We welcome you to stand with us on this Funday Sunday.
Put your hands together.
Come on, church. Let's give him a shout of praise this morning for who he is and all he's done. Come on.
I saw darkness run for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over is my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Hey, still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name registered in heaven. Hey, my praise belongs to you forever. Come on, let me hear you say,
this is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Wrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. Yeah. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Yeah. It said the revelation that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If you're still alive, here we go.
If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Yeah. Greater things are still to come.
What?
I'm not dead.
I'm not dead, you're not done.
It said, I will not die, but I'll live.
Greater things are still to come.
The glory of the Lord.
From death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'll justify. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
This is my testimony.
From death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, declare his marvelous works to all the children of men. He is great. He is worthy. He's magnificent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Slow it down. Join in with me. Love this song.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Come on, sing it out.
'Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath the goodness of God. I love your voice, 'cause you have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other.
Come on, sing.
I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a the goodness of God. 'Cause all my With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing, yeah.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Amen.
God is good and God is faithful. Man, so good, so good. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. I just want to, we're going to have a time right now where we want to pray. If anyone needs prayer, we have a prayer team that'll come up and stand at the front. They're full of faith. They want to pray with you with whatever you're facing, whatever you is concerning you. We want to agree with you in faith. And I really felt the Lord prompted me this morning that there are people that are in this place that you've seen God do some miracles in your body, but you haven't seen a complete healing. And you're trusting God. He says, don't stop trusting me for a complete healing, because I am the God of the miraculous. Not just to help you out, but to heal you and deliver you. So if you are here and you've experienced some healing in your body, but you haven't seen all of it, and I include myself in that, I don't want to settle for anything less than what God has for me. I want complete healing. How about you? So if you are trusting God to keep the healing work going in your body and restore some of the stuff that's still broken, come forward and we're going to lay hands on you and believe God and release the healing power of God to flow this morning. Amen. And welcome to those that are watching online right now. As I stretch my hand out towards that camera, there's no distance in prayer. The way that healing is received is by faith. So I want you right where you are. If you need healing in your body, just lay your hand upon that part of your body. And Father, I release the healing power of God to flow into that home, into that office, into that sitting room, wherever that person is. And I release the healing power of God to go in and perfect a healing in that body, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. We believe in the power of the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you need prayer, during this last song, we're going to sing. But if you need prayer, if you believe in God to complete a healing in your body, if you just need a dose of Holy Ghost power on you this morning, just step out of your seat during this song. Just come forward and one of us will pray for you during this last song. Amen.
Oh, we bless you, Lord. There's none like you in all the earth. We lift the worship. Just one touch, everything changes, everything changes. With one word, the world rearranges, the world rearranges. By one life, death was defeated, death was defeated. This one love has paid for my freedom, paid for my freedom. No other love, no other you're the miracle maker.
No one above, no one alone. You're all I want, Jesus. No one I want, no one I want. You're all I want, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. You're all I want, Lord. You're all I want, yeah. Oh, you're all I want. You're all I want, Lord. Nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like you.
Nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one
in reverence
to
the same.
Nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. Nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like you.
Everything changes, everything changes. No other hope,
no other love, no one my own, Jesus.
No one,
no one,
no one. There's no one like you. Nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one. Come on, churches, sing.
Nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like you.
Nothing.
Nothing. Compares to you, God. There's no one like you.
Oh, we boldly declare
nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like
you. No other deliverer, oh, one who transforms, sets the captives free, yeah. There's no one greater than you, Lord, name above all names, yeah. Come on, church, and reverence him this morning. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph this morning. There is no one like you.
God, we didn't come just to go to church. We came to meet with you. There is no one like you. All our needs are met in you, God. We just glorify you this morning, and we praise you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name.
Well, that was some good singing this morning, man. Good singing. Didn't the worship team do an awesome job?
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. But you were singing so good.
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them I'm glad to see you, and you may be seated. Good morning, dear family. How are you? Good to be in church, isn't it? So glad that you're here with us today. I believe God's got a word for you that he's going to, if you came in here down and discouraged, I believe you're going to walk out of here uplifted and encouraged. Amen? And the word of God always has a way of, you know, it's funny how we can all be in church, we can all hear the same message, but God speaks to you personally. And directly, and you may hear something that I don't hear, but you'll hear exactly what it is that you need to hear from the Lord this morning. Amen. And so welcome, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. I want to first welcome anyone who's visiting us for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? And so if you're here for the first time, we just want to honor you. We don't want to embarrass you, but our ushers are going to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, won't you just wave your hand that we can welcome you? Anyone here for the first time? Wave your hand if you are. Just a little so they can see you. Just a little higher. Thank you. Come on, let's welcome them. Just let them get that visitor pack to you. There's a couple of things in there. One of them being this card that'll tell you a little bit more about our church. It also has a barcode that'll, whatever you call a QR code, that'll lead you to our app, to our website. So go ahead and check that out. And there's a card in there that says guest. If you just take a moment and fill that out for us, at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. It just helps us as pastors be able to give you a call, find out how you enjoyed the service. Thank you for joining us today. We ask you just stick around for a minute after service and greet us in the lobby. Pastor Steve would love to meet you. So thank you for joining us today. Amen. And I want to welcome those that are watching online. We have an online audience that watches on Facebook Live. If you're watching on Facebook Live, go ahead and tell us where you're watching from. Comment on the service. Don't get distracted where you are. It's easier in church not to get distracted, but it's harder at home. So just focus today and get everything you can out of the service. Also, go ahead and share. You know, the reason we do online services is because it extends our reach beyond the four walls of the church. And so if you are on Facebook and you want to go ahead to Ascend Church, the live stream right now, just share it. It reaches out to people that are not even in our area, maybe people in your family that can be blessed by it, your friends and family. So go ahead and share that. We appreciate it. You can watch on Ascend Church on YouTube. I like watching on YouTube. It's real easy. Watch all kinds of sermons. And these are things that I just want to remind people that you can always go back and watch something that has been preached before, which is a blessing. You know, sometimes you say, what was it I was thinking? Because I left my notes from last week in the car, and I was trying to remember a scripture that Pastor Steve used last week. And so there's a way for us to go back and just get the most out of the Word of God by watching it again, watching it on our website, ascendchurch.us, or on our app. So go ahead and do that. And then I just want to mention the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that we would know God. You say, I do know God. Let me tell you, I know the Lord, but I don't know everything there is to know about Him. I'm continually growing in my knowledge of who He is, His nature, what He's done. Amen. It's a revelation. It's an ongoing revelation. Second of all, we want you to find freedom. There's testimony. I was standing here today thinking about some of the stories that I know from the lives of us people in this church, the freedom that people have found in their lives from all kinds of bondages, and we want freedom in your life, in all of our lives. Thirdly, that you would discover your purpose, and lastly, that you would make a difference with your life. Amen? Thank you, my dear. It's got a good message. I get little excerpts. I get previews.
You do. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Tell your neighbor, it's good to see you here in church. Worship team did such a great job today. Man, you guys were singing today. We've got such great musicians here and singers, and they're just gelling so well. All right? Man, I love it. Praise God. Remember that we have several different ways that people can watch our service. Like right now, there's a problem on Facebook. So if Facebook doesn't work, we got another platform. You can watch it on our YouTube channel, Ascend Church Jupiter. And if something happens and that doesn't work, watch it on our website, which is ascendchurch.us. Watch it on our mobile app. So there's four different platforms you can watch the service on. And if ever something happens to one of them, then switch to another one. But they'll get the Facebook sorted out right now. But praise God, Lord, we just thank you that you are so good to us, Lord. We thank you that you are so faithful. We're so glad to be in your house once again, Lord. We thank you today for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is what brings freedom. You said we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing freedom today, Father. Freedom from fear of man. Thank you, freedom from timidity. Thank you, Lord, that boldness rises up on the inside of us today, Lord. And we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to speak about bold as a lion. That's what I want to speak to you about today. Bold as a lion. And, you know, on the night that Jesus was arrested, Peter, the apostle Peter, denied the Lord three times. And then the Bible says he regretted it and he wept bitterly. Of course, Jesus knew that was going to happen. He told them it was going to happen. He said, when you come back, strengthen your brethren. And when Mary went to Jesus' tomb, she saw an angel there who told her she must go tell the disciples and tell Peter. He mentioned, tell Peter that Jesus has risen from the dead. And later on in Acts chapter 1, Jesus appeared to the disciples. Jesus appeared to them a number of different times after his resurrection. And he told the disciples that they were to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because when they received the Holy Spirit, they would receive power to be able to be witnesses for the Lord. And so in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes to the earth and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter, who had been afraid and denied the Lord three times, now the same Peter, he lifts his voice and he starts preaching on the streets of Jerusalem. And 3,000 people receive Jesus into their life. The next chapter, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are on their way to attend a prayer meeting. And they encounter a crippled man. He's been crippled for 40 years. And he asks them for money. And Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Then he grabs the man by the hand, and immediately the man is healed and goes with them into the temple, praise, jumping and leaping and praising God. And another 5,000 people receive Jesus when they see this happen. Now, the religious leaders are so mad about it, and they're so jealous about it, that they arrest Peter and John, and they hold them in custody. And they're going to put them on trial. The next day they questioned them. They said, by what power, by what authority have you done these things? And Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, boldly replies, "It is by the power of the name of Jesus that this crippled man was healed. The one that you crucified, that's the authority and that's the name by which this man was healed." Now, in Acts 4, verse 13, "Then the members of the council, they were amazed," say amazed, "when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," say boldness. "They were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, because they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." And I love the way the Living Bible reads. It says they were amazed and realized what being with Jesus had done for them. That's where the boldness came from. The Passion Bible says the council members were astonished as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John, especially when they discovered that they were just ordinary men who never had any religious training. They began to understand the effect that Jesus had on them simply by spending time with them. Do you know that Jesus has a great effect on you? When you spend time with the Lord, you begin to become bold in the Lord. These religious leaders commanded them that they must never again speak about Jesus. And what was Peter and John's response? Verse 19, Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." The Passion Bible says, "Is it better to listen to you or to listen to God?" Now, the religious leaders let them go, and they went and they told the church what had happened, and they all started praying. The church started praying. What did they pray? In verse 19 of Acts 4, verse 29, it says they prayed, "Lord, now hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness," say boldness, "great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. Now, here's my question. Where is this boldness in the church today? Where is this boldness in the church today? Some people think that the time of miracles has stopped. But can I tell you, we are still living in the book of Acts today. The book of Acts is still being written today. And we can still pray bold prayers today. I was so blessed to receive this testimony from Aaron this week, from your mom. She sent me this testimony, and she said, "Hi, Pastor Steve. Quick true story. I'm reading a text that she sent me. I was called about an hour ago." Go back for me, please. I'm there. "I was called about an hour ago by my daughter with my son groaning in horrible pain like I've never heard him before. He was complaining of severe abdominal pain to the point where he was sweating, barely able to talk. He didn't want to go to the ER. I talked to him on speakerphone and told him if he was not better in 15 minutes, he would have to go." Now, your mom's a nurse, right? And so she said, "I told him if he's not better in 15 minutes, he needs to go to the ER and get tested and get IV fluids, etc. Then I started praying. And I prayed in Jesus' name for him to be healed, like you taught us in your sermons. I had faith that he would be healed, and I believed what was not yet as that it would be. And I knew in my spirit that within 15 minutes he'd be better. My daughter called me back within 10 minutes and said he was suddenly better and able to talk and no longer in pain. I praise Jesus and I thank you for reminding us of God's word and how to pray in similar situations and have faith. Love, Aaron. Praise God. Let me tell you, family, this is an hour for us to pray for boldness and to step out and to pray for miracles. I can't believe how many churches, it still is amazing to me, how many churches complied with government mandates and shut their churches down for over 1 year. Now it's being proven that that was a mistake. It's being proven now. John Hopkins University just came out and said that the shutdowns, the lockdowns, did more damage, and they saved very few people, a tiny, tiny, tiny percent. I'm not trying to bash any churches. You didn't call me anybody. You didn't hear me call anybody by name. I'm not trying to bash any church leaders. I'm just saying, folks, that where is the boldness that we see in the book of Acts, where they threatened Peter and John, man, and these religious leaders, they got the power to kill you. And they say, should we obey you or should we obey God? You know, we never shut down for one Sunday. And a friend of mine, Rodney Howard Brown, got arrested in Tampa for having church. And I thought, well, my time's coming soon. And people were telling me, you better shut down, you better be careful, blah, 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 blah. I was willing to be arrested. But thank God, Governor DeSantis, the next couple of days after Rodney was arrested, he came out and he declared that churches are essential. And the threat of arrest, I never got my opportunity. But it's not over yet, right? So now, someone said, Pastor Steve, why didn't you shut down? Because people need Jesus. People need to hear the word of God. People need to hear, have hope. People need fellowship. People need their spiritual family. When I would arrive at church, I'd have reporters waiting for me. New York Times, Washington Post, some Canadian news reporter, French news reporter, CBS News. They'd ask me the same question. Why are you staying open? I would say to them, why don't you just go down the street about 3/4 of a mile or less and ask Home Depot why their doors are open? Or go to Walmart and ask them how come they're open. If people can go to Walmart and people can go to Home Depot, then people should be able to come to church. I had people come against me, social media. I got nasty emails, people trying to intimidate me. Let me tell you, intimidation is to try and restrain you. It's to try and hold you back. The enemy wants to intimidate the church, make us timid and make us fearful. This is not the time for the church to shrink back. This is the hour for the church to rise up boldly and preach the gospel with signs following. Someone said, well, what about if I get COVID? God will heal you. He'll heal you. I never even realized I had COVID last week. I never knew. I just didn't feel quite good. And so I was here preaching last week. I apologize, but I didn't know. I just carried on preaching. Then I took a test, and I found out I had it. Well, praise God. What did I do? I started trusting the Lord, taking my vitamins, and I'm back. Never missed a Sunday. Now, I know that I've got a friend in Hawaii, Pastor Nick. He didn't know he had COVID. He went into hospital. 2 days later, he was gone. They put him on a ventilator. 2 days later, he was gone. Let me tell you, I'm not saying this hasn't affected people and families, and we've lost people, and it's sad. But that doesn't change the word of God. That doesn't, whatever happens to me, you can't base your faith on what I do. You've got to base your faith on the word of God. Amen. God didn't call his church to live in fear. God didn't call his church to live with constant worry, anxiety about tomorrow. God called his church to move in boldness. It's amazing in the book of Acts, you see these men and women who were ordinary people like you and me. No special training. They were used by God. You know why? Because they were boldly obedient. They were willing to step out and boldly obey God, no matter what the cost. Let me tell you, everyone that God chose to use, it wasn't because they were the most gifted. It wasn't because they were the wisest or the richest or the most educated. It's because they walked in this bold obedience. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, brothers and sisters, consider who you were when God called you to salvation. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were wise scholars by human standards, nor were many of you in positions of power. Not many of you were considered the elite when you answered God's calling. It says, but God chose those whom the world considers foolish to shame those who think they are wise. And God chose the puny and the powerless to shame the high and the mighty. And he chose the lowly and the laughable in the world's eyes, nobodies, so that he would shame the somebodies. For he does what is regarded as insignificant. He chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent, so there would be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence. You see, none of us can boast, look at me, look how great I am, how great I am. None of us can do that because we're all puny, we're all powerless, we're all weak. God chose the foolish and uses the foolish to confound the wise. David defeated Goliath because he was bold. Everyone else, even King Saul, was head and shoulders taller than any other man in Israel. King Saul was a magnificent specimen of a man, you might say. He was tall and he was strong, but he was hiding and he was intimidated by Goliath and he was afraid of Goliath. But David, who was 17 years old, spoke up boldly in 1 Samuel 17 and he said to King Saul, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way that you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. He's been a man of war since his youth. And David says to him, he said, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and the goats. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I'll go after it with a club and I'll rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this uncircumcised Philistine too, for he's defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. I love, man. I just got to love that. You just got to love David. His brothers thought, man, look at you. Who do you think you are? You insolent of heart. You prideful of heart. David wasn't being prideful. David was being bold, man. He had faith in God. We all know what happened. Amen. How about Daniel, protected in the lion's den? Because of his bold faith, he refused to back down and stop praying when they made a decree and nobody can pray to any other god. He kept on praying three times a day. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were protected in the burning fiery furnace because of their bold faith. They refused to bow down to the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up for them. They wouldn't bow down. The scripture says in Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Say, I'm bold as a lion. Say, I'm bold as a lion. Because that's talking about us. We're the righteous. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Have you ever seen a lion? Anybody been close up to a lion? Wave your hand if you've been close up to a lion. Well, let me tell you, man, I grew up in South Africa. We have lions roaming around the streets. That's a joke. That's what some people think. They're like, is there lions and tigers around? There's no tigers in South Africa. But we have them in our national park called the Kruger Park, the lions. And we've been on safari where you go in a Land Rover and you're able to go cross country and you're able to get up. I mean, I've been as close to a lion, seriously, two, 3 feet away from a lion. And they are ferocious, man. They are bold. Their paws are like the size of dinner plates. When they roar, you can hear it from 2 miles away. Let me tell you, the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. They are fearless, and that's how we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be bold as a lion. The word bold, I looked it up. It means to be brave. It means to be fearless before danger. means to be fearless before difficult situations. It means to show confidence and lack of fear. It means to be very confident in a way that seems foolish. It's boldness is something that stands out prominently like boldface lettering. You know, like if you're typing on your computer and you want to make something stand out, you make it bold. Well, that's what it means. Someone who's bold is someone who stands out prominently. They are confident in a way that seems foolish. They are fearless before danger or difficult situations. Bold people are fearless in the face of danger. Bold people are confident and courageous. Bold people stand out. Bold people inspire others to walk in boldness. Are you with me? Fear paralyzes you, but faith makes you bold. Fear bows down, but faith doesn't bow down to fear. Faith doesn't bow down to a pandemic. God wants us to be bold in the face of danger. He wants us to be bold to speak for Him. Boldness doesn't mean the absence of fear. It doesn't mean you never feel fear. It's being able to face your fears head on and say, I may be feeling fear, but God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, and facing your fears head on. David was bold when he faced Goliath, not because he didn't feel fear. I mean, surely David must have sensed fear. He's 17 years old. Goliath is 10 feet tall. But you see, David's confidence in God was bigger than his fear of Goliath. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. I love the way that the Living Bible reads. It says, this being so, I want to remind you to stir into flame the strength and the boldness that is in you, that entered you when I laid my hands upon you and blessed you. For the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong, to love them and enjoy being with them. The Bible says we got to stir up the boldness that is on the inside of us already. The Message Bible says God doesn't want us to be shy with His gifts, but to be bold and loving and sensible. Can I tell you, you have boldness on the inside of you. You've got to stir it up, and you've got to let it out. When you don't use the gifts that God has put within you, they're still there, but they become dormant if you don't use it. I remember so many times Joel Osteen talks about how that he was so shy to speak in front in public. He was behind the camera working for his dad for 17 years. And he tells how his dad would do everything he could to try and get Joel to say something publicly on stage. Why don't you, it's Wednesday night service, why don't you receive the offering? And he'd try and get him up there, and Joel refused for 17 years because he was just, by nature, he's very shy. Until his dad was in hospital a week before he went home to be with the Lord. He didn't have long to live. And Joel felt God stirring him in his heart and telling him that He wanted him to become the pastor of Lakewood Church. And he stepped up and he began to minister. Do you know that Joel had the gifting on the inside of him the whole time, but it was dormant until he started boldly getting up and preaching. And then that gift came to the fore, and his ministry, the church, has gone way beyond anything that his dad ever did. When I was 18 years old, I felt God calling me to preach, but I was very shy in those days. I was afraid to stand up in front of people. I mean, when I had to give a speech at school, we call it give a speech, oh man, I would dread it for days. I would seriously, I'd try and think of ways I could skip school that day. I would dread it for days. I remember the first time I was asked to speak at our youth group over at Christian Family Church, Johannesburg. I was so nervous to speak at that youth group. Oh, my goodness me. But I've prepared myself thoroughly, and I prayed for God to give me boldness. And when I got up and I began to speak, the gift that was on the inside of me began to take over. And I was almost like amazed, you know, whoa, it's the gift on the inside. Let me tell you, God's not looking for gifted people. He uses the foolish to confound the wise. What's he looking for? He's looking for bold obedience. Just do, step out and do whatever God is stirring you in your heart to do. We got to choose boldness over fear, because nothing happens until bold people rise up. Let me tell you, God is not going to start that business for you. God is not going to write that book for you. You've got to do something. You've got to walk in bold obedience. Now, boldness doesn't mean loudness. You can be bold without being loud. God wants us to be bold in prayer. He wants us to pray bold prayers, because bold prayer honors God, and God honors bold prayer. Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still. And God answered. The sun stood still for 24 hours. The scripture says in Job 26, you'll take delight in God, the mighty one, and look to him joyfully, boldly. You'll pray to him and he'll listen. He'll help you do what you promised. You'll decide what you want and it will happen. Your life will be bathed in light. The scripture says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you know you don't get the grace and the mercy and the favor that you need until you go to God boldly? Because the enemy will try to intimidate you. He'll try and make you come shamefully before God. Oh, Lord, I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm so unworthy. But God says, I want you to come boldly. I want you to come confidently that I hear you and I will answer you. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Be convinced that you have it, that you've received it, and it will be yours. I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. John 16:24. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now you can ask and keep on asking, and you can be sure that you will receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. You haven't been bold enough, but I want you to be bold and ask him for the things that you desire. James 1:5. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. It says people who, let's move on to the next one. 1 John 5:14 says this, since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before him. For if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, it says we know that we have obtained the requests that we have asked of him. Amen. The Message Bible says how bold and free we then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will, sure that he's listening. And if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. How can you be sure that what you are asking God for is according to his will? Well, the word of God is his will. If you find scripture promises in the Bible that promise, and you base your prayer on that, then you can know that you are praying according to the will of God. The word of God is the will of God. Amen. Solomon prayed boldly. The scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 8, having finished praying to God, all these bold and passionate prayers, Solomon stood up before God's altar where he'd been kneeling all this time and his arms stretched upward toward heaven. Solomon prayed boldly. Be bold to pray. Pray bold prayers. If you only pray small, ordinary, get by, survival prayers, most likely you'll only live a small, ordinary, get by, survive life. But when you bowl to ask God for big things, you'll see the greatness of His power in your life. Amen. You can see this throughout Scripture. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and for 3.5 years there was no rain. And then he prayed again, and the rain came. Elijah prayed for a widow's son to be raised from the dead, and he was raised from the dead. Joshua boldly prayed for more sunlight, and God stopped the sun for 24 hours. Isaac prayed for his barren wife, Rebecca, and the Lord answered, and she fell pregnant. The common denominator is they asked for the unthinkable. They were bold in their prayers. Here's my question. When is the last time that you asked God to do something that was impossible, something that was out of the ordinary? I really believe one reason we don't see God do greater things is because we only ask God for small things. But God is saying, ask me for big things. Ask me for those hidden dreams that I put in your heart. There should be something that you're praying about, something that you are asking God for that seems so far out that you could never accomplish it in your own ability. Amen? Your dreams may look impossible. Maybe you don't have the funds, you don't have the connections, but God is saying, I dare to ask you, ask me to bring it to pass. I dare you to ask me to bring it to pass. A lot of times this is how we pray. Lord, my child is off course. If you'll just turn him around. That's a good prayer. But that's an ordinary prayer. Ordinary prayers get ordinary results. God meets you at the level of your faith. If you're going to ask small, you're going to get small. Here's a big prayer. A big prayer is, Lord, I'm asking you not only to turn my child around, but use him in a great way. Let him make a difference with his life. A small ordinary prayer is, God, help me to just get by this month. Help me to pay my rent this month, Lord. There's nothing wrong with praying that. But here's a big, bold prayer. Lord, I'm asking you to increase me in such a way that I own my own home, that I can not only pay off my house, but I can help pay off somebody else's house. That's a big, bold prayer. I wonder how many needs are not being met in your life simply because you're not asking God. Dare to ask Him for the things you need, for the things that you desire. If your job doesn't allow you to attend church on Sunday, ask God for a new job. And while you're at it, ask Him for an increase. Why stay at a job that you can't be in church every Sunday? James 4 verse 2 says you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. If you're not asking God, you're shortchanging yourself. You'll never reach the fullness of your destiny if you only pray small prayers. Don't pray just to get by, just to endure. Dare to ask God for big things. Ask God for what He promised you. Amen. Do you know there are thousands of promises in the Bible? Over 7,000 promises in the Bible that you have a right to pray and ask God to bring them to pass in your life. He already gave you the promise. Pray for boldness to speak for Him. The Apostle Paul prayed for boldness to preach the gospel. In Ephesians 6:19, he said, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, but I'm still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly, even here in prison, like I should. Pray that I'll keep speaking for the Lord boldly, even here in this prison. The Passion Bible says, pray that I may preach the wonderful news of God's kingdom with bold freedom at every opportunity. That's what I pray for you. I pray that you would be filled with boldness and that you would preach the word of the gospel at every opportunity you have because you are His ambassador. Amen? Move on for me. Did Paul preach boldly? Did his prayer get answered? Acts chapter 9, verse 27. Barnabas came to his defense and brought him before the apostles. Saul shared with them his supernatural experience of seeing the Lord who spoke with him on the road to Damascus. Barnabas told them how boldly Saul had preached throughout the city in Jesus' mighty name. Then they accepted him as a brother And he remained with them, joining them wherever they went in Jerusalem, boldly preaching in the power and authority of Jesus. Acts 13:46, Paul and Barnabas did not back down. Paul and Barnabas did not back down. What's that song? I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell and I won't back down. It says they wouldn't back down. Filled with courage, they boldly replied, "We were compelled to bring God's message first to you Jews, but seeing you've rejected this message and refused to embrace eternal life, we will focus instead on the nations and offer it to them." Acts 14, verse 3, Paul and Barnabas stayed there for a long time, preaching boldly and fearlessly about the Lord. Many trusted in the Lord, for he backed up his message of grace with miracles, signs, and wonders performed by the apostles. Acts 19, verse 3, Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly each Sabbath for 3 months, telling what he believed and why, and persuading many to believe in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." The New Living Translation says, "You know how badly we've been treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there, yet God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition." In spite of great opposition. Ephesians 3 verse 7, "I've been made a messenger of this wonderful news by the gift of grace that works through me, and even though I'm the least significant of all his holy believers, this grace gift was imparted when the manifestation of his power came upon me. Grace alone empowers me so that I can boldly preach." Grace alone empowers me so that I can boldly preach this wonderful message to non-Jewish people, sharing with them the unfading, inexhaustible riches of Christ, which are beyond comprehension. Amen. Let me tell you, God's looking for bold people. Tell your neighbor, God's looking for bold people. Tell your neighbor, God's called you to boldly speak for him. Say, "God's put boldness inside me." But you got to let that out. You got to let that boldness out. Ephesians 3 verse 11 says, "In him we have boldness." The Passion Bible says we have boldness through him and free access as kings before the Father because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. We have boldness in him. The Message Bible says when we trust in him, we're free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12, "So then with this amazing hope living in us, we can step out in freedom and boldness to speak the truth." I pray that every one of you will rise up today boldly to speak for Jesus. I pray that every one of you will let that boldness rise up on the inside of you and that you will step out and be boldly obedient and speak for the Lord at every opportunity. I pray that everyone in this church will have such a boldness. Can you just imagine every one of us inviting somebody to come to church every single week? Every one of us. We wouldn't have one new visitor here today. We would have dozens of new visitors here today. I pray that every one of us will rise up to boldly speak for the Lord, to share the good news, and invite somebody to come to church with you. Amen. Imagine if every one of us invited someone every single week. I want to see this altar filled of people. I want to see the church filled of people receiving Jesus, lifting their hands to receive the Lord in their life. Let's be bold for the Lord. Let's be bold in our faith. Let's not let the enemy back us down with intimidation and with fear. The scripture says in Hebrews 10:35, "Don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward." Don't lose your bold, courageous faith. You're destined for a great reward. Let me ask you a question. Why can we be bold in the face of danger. Why can we have this boldness in the face of danger? Well, Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" The Message Bible says, since God assured us, "I'll never let you down, I'll never walk off and leave you," we can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who and what can get to me? Who and what can get to me? I'm fearless no matter what. Why? Because the Lord is always with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. Listen to the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says, "For God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you or let you down. Assuredly not. So take comfort and be encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread. I will not be terrified. What can man do to me? I will not be afraid. I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper and he is with me and he'll never forsake me." That's why we can be bold. You can boldly say in the face of danger, the Lord is my helper. He is always with me. I will not fear. I'm fearless no matter what. Amen. Hebrews 3 verse 6 says this, "But Christ is more than a servant. He was faithful as the son in charge of God's house, and now we are part of his house if we continue courageously to hold firmly to our bold confidence and our victorious hope." We got to hold on to our bold, victorious hope. Do you know Jesus was bold? The scripture says in John 7:38, Jesus preached boldly in the temple. God told Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 9, "Be bold, be strong, banish fear and doubt. Remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go." Let me share with you as I close this morning how to unleash boldness in your life. Number one, you got to get filled up. Peter became bold when he got filled up with the Holy Spirit. The believers in Acts became bold when they were filled up with the Holy Spirit. You need to fill up on the Holy Spirit if you want to be bold. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit." You see, you don't get filled up on the Holy Spirit one time. You continually get filled up on the Holy Spirit on a daily, on a weekly basis. You spend time praying in tongues. You spend time with Jesus in prayer. Peter and John were bold because they'd be with Jesus, because that was the effect that Jesus had on them. And can I tell you, when you spend time with the Lord in prayer, boldness starts to rise up on the inside of you. I want to encourage you, get hungry for the Word of God. Fill up on the Word of God. That builds your faith. That builds your confidence. The scripture says in Exodus chapter 33, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return." Moses would return to the camp. "But his servant Joshua, from son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." The Amplified Bible said he did not depart from the temporary prayer tent. What that means is Moses would speak face to face with God, but then he'd go back to the camp. But Joshua would stay in the presence of God. Even when Pastor Moses left and went back to his house, Joshua would stay in the tabernacle. He would stay in the presence of God. What was he doing? He was filling up. He was getting prepared. He was filling himself up. You see, boldness comes from God's presence. People read about the amazing things that Joshua did. He conquered Jericho, took the promised land. He was a mighty warrior, Joshua. But what they didn't realize is that he was in Exodus. That's where he got filled up. That's where he got prepared, when he was waiting in the presence of God. You see, you can't boldly take your promised land until you get filled up in God's presence. Joshua didn't take the promised land until he first served as assistant to Moses and got filled up in God's presence. You see, that's where you get vision. That's where you get strategy. That's where you get ideas, is when you get in the presence of God. Let me tell you, you're going to beat your competitors, not because you worked harder, but because you lingered longer in the presence of God. You got filled up on God's word, and you started walking in bold obedience. My friend, Mike Francine, who I love so much, he asked a number of well-known ministers, what's the greatest key to success in ministry? A number of well-known ministers. And Reinhard Bonnke, who did huge crusades, led millions to Christ, he said, the greatest secret to success in ministry is boldness and action. Boldness and action. Mike got saved when he was in college. He received the Lord. He'd never read a Bible. 6 weeks later, he asked his local pastor if he could preach at the church. And the pastor said, okay, we'll do a Saturday night service for you. And Mike invited some of his friends. He made some posters, some flyers, and he passed them around. The church had never seen more than two people get saved in a service. Mike prayed boldly, and he asked God for 10 people to receive Jesus. And that Saturday night, as Mike preached for the first time, 11 people raised their hand to receive Christ in their life. Mike read T.L. Osborne's book, Evangelism, Out Where the Sinners Are. He saw pictures of mass crusades, huge crowds, T.L. Osborne doing these big crusades. And a vision was birthed in his heart to do mass crusades. A couple of years later, Mike met Pastor Benson Idahosa from Nigeria. And he invited Mike to come and stay in Nigeria in his home for 3 months. He'd never did that before or since. Mike went with Pastor Idahosa to his crusades, where he would have 50, 75,000 people in the crusade. And he saw miracles take place. And at the end of 3 months, Mike, he's like 20 years old or 21 years old, he asked Pastor Benson Idahosa, why did you invite me? What do I do now? And Benson told him, go and do likewise. What you see me do, go and do likewise. 6 weeks later, Mike went to the Philippines to do his first crusade. He had $120 in his pocket. That's all the money that he had in the world. He made posters to advertise the crusade. He looked so young in the posters, he was 21, that he used a Sharpie pen to draw a mustache to make him look a little bit older. 4,000 people got saved in that first crusade in the Philippines. Since that time, Mike has done over 300 mass crusades in 103 countries with 13 million decisions for Christ. It all happened because he was bold enough to obey and step out and do what God had put in his heart. Amen. Secondly, the second thing, if you're going to walk in boldness, you got to speak bold words. You got to speak bold words. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That's who you are, Lord. He's a way maker. He's a promise. You got to speak bold words. You mentioned it earlier, Bronson, Revelation 12, verse 11. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. Do you know if you're going to overcome the enemy and become everything God destined you to be, you have got to speak bold words of faith. David spoke bold words to Goliath. David said to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I'll take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. He spoke boldly. He said, all this assembly will know the Lord doesn't save with sword, with spear. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you in our hands. Man, that's bold. That's bold. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, three teenagers, they were bold. They said to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel chapter 3, you've got to understand, King Nebuchadnezzar was ruthless. He was a tyrant. He killed people just like that. And they say boldly, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answers, they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. We all know what happened. I mean, the king got so mad at that. He told them, turn up the fiery furnace seven times, and he threw them in. But what happened? The fourth man showed up. Jesus showed up, and they weren't harmed. They weren't burned. Their hair didn't even get singed. God delivered them. See, when we boldly speak God's word, that's when God goes to work on our behalf. Can I tell you a power, something that I hope you never forget this? God cannot do more for me than my words allow him to. God cannot do any more for me than my words allow him to. When you're in a crisis facing danger, don't speak fears. Don't speak what the news media is telling you. Don't speak what this one said. Man, you got to speak the word of God. You got to boldly speak out the word of God. Can you say amen? You declare the promises of God. 7,487 promises. Declare those. Number three, the third thing, if you're going to walk in boldness, you got to do something bold. You got to act bold. David didn't just speak boldly. David acted boldly. David wasn't just, you know, words. 1 Samuel 17, verse 48, after David said, I'm going to take your head, God's going to deliver you into our hand. You know what it said? It said, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David wasn't like, I'm going to defeat you, Goliath. I'm coming. I'm going to take your head off. No, David ran full steam boldly toward him. Amen. James 2:17 says, in that it's the same with faith. If it doesn't cause us to do something, it's dead. You've got to take a bold action. Face your fears. Whatever it is God is telling you, just do it, man. God favors the bold. Maybe it's starting a connect group. Maybe it's inviting that person God's been telling you for 6 months to invite them to church. Maybe it's time to take that bold step and do it and invite them. Maybe it's apologizing. God's been telling you to apologize. It takes boldness to apologize. Say, I'm sorry. It takes boldness to confront that person, have that honest conversation that you know you need to have. You got to do something bold. Speak bold words and take bold action. And then finally, pray for boldness. How many of you would like to be more bold in your life? Hold your hand up if you'd like to be more bold. We can all be more bold. Because you know that you can be bold one moment and fall and be intimidated the next. You can be like Elijah. Called down fire. Defeated 450 prophets of Baal. Prayed for rain. Outrode Ahab's chariot. And then one woman named Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow. And he took off running, man. One woman. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray, just like in the book of Acts chapter 4, where they prayed to be filled with boldness. I pray, Lord, that you would fill each and every one of us with boldness. I pray that a bold spirit will rise up in the name of Jesus, that we'd stir up that bold spirit that you've put on the inside of us. You haven't given us a spirit of fear. You haven't given us a spirit of timidity. You've given us a spirit of boldness. I pray, Lord, right now, let boldness rise up in every heart. I pray, Lord, that every one of us would go out of here and that we would be bold to speak for you, that we would be bold in our faith, that we would be bold in our prayers, that we would be bold in our witness, Father. I pray that you would stretch forth your hands, Lord, and that you would back up. Back us up, Lord, with signs and wonders and miracles and healings. I pray that you would demonstrate your power through your church. I pray, Lord, that we would rise up boldly like never before, and that we would not back down, and that we would not be intimidated, and that we would not allow fear to constrain us, but that we would boldly, Lord, do what you're telling us to do, say what you're telling us to say, go where you're telling us to go, be what you're telling us to be, in the name of Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord, that I am bold. Say it again, thank you, Lord, that I am full of boldness. Say it again, thank you, Lord, for making me bold. In the name of Jesus, say, I'm bold for the Lord. I've been given a spirit of boldness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Just keep your head bowed for a moment. Just keep your eyes closed if you would. I want to pray right now. Does anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure what would happen to you if you were to die today, let me tell you, if you say, you know, if you were to die today, can you say for certain that you know you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe in God and they tremble. What I'm asking you is, can you say that you know for certain that if you were to die today, that heaven is where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can know that without any doubt. You can be sure. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure that all is right, that all is well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, I want you quickly, would you just lift your hand up high? Just raise your hand up. I'm looking for hands. And if anyone has their hand raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. All right, look at me for a moment. I am boldly declaring. You agree with me? That the day is coming when I give the altar call for salvation, that we can have lots of people raising their hand every single service, because you boldly gonna bring them in Jesus' name. Can you agree with that? Can you say amen to that? I want to just say before you hand over to you that I'm going to be starting the Christian Growth Seminar, not this Tuesday, but the following one. So this Tuesday is the 8th. I'm going to start it on the 15th. It's going to run for 4 weeks. Could you hand me that? Can you throw that book to me in front of you? Throw it to me. There you go. He's got long arms. This is the Christian Growth Seminar that I'm going to be teaching. It really is a life-changing Bible study course. You'll learn about so many things on here. Understand salvation. Understand, know for sure you're going to heaven. Understand water baptism. You'll have the opportunity to get baptized in water. Understand what that's all about. I mean, we talk about 3 steps to receive anything you need from God in prayer. We talk about receiving the power of God in your life. God is interested in your financial success, how you can walk in God's blessings financially, how to find your place in the kingdom of God, having a spiritual home. I mean, I can't recommend this highly enough to you. And we had a number of people sign up last week. I was very pleased. We had 17 people sign up last week. And I want to, if you haven't done the Spiritual Growth Seminar, I really want to encourage you. You need to come do it. Some of you might even need to come back and do it again. I've taught the class, I don't know, 100 times, 200 times. I lost count. But every time I get something out of it, if you fill out this green card, it says grow. There's one in the seat back in front of you. Please fill this card out.
So it's for Tuesday nights.
It's for four Tuesday nights from 7 o'clock till around 8:30, 8:45, four Tuesday nights. Fill out the card, put it in the offering bucket that comes by, or you can put it on the table out there in the lobby where the Connect Group leaders will be after service. So how many of you have done the Christian Growth Seminar? Wave your hand at me. Would you recommend it? Yep. Make some noise if you do recommend it. How many of you have not yet been? How many of you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar? Wave your hand at me. Listen, sign up today. Sign up for it today. We start on the 15th, right? Amen.
Good.
Thank you.
Good, good. I feel emboldened. Bold prayers. We're going to pray bold prayers. Amen. Now's the time in the service where we're going to have an opportunity to give in the kingdom of God. Amen. Those that are watching online, it's real simple. You can go ahead and give. For those that are here, various ways. If you want to just use the envelopes, there's ways that come up on the screen if you want to give. And I always like to read a scripture, because we don't give because somebody coerces us, or whatever we do it in line with the Word of God, in response and obedience to the Word of God. I'll just read you a couple of verses from Malachi. Malachi 3. The people had gone away from God, and so God's telling them, come back to me, come back to me. And he tells them how, and he says this. He says, God doesn't, he doesn't mess around. He just tells it like it is, right? He says, you people are robbing me, your God. And here you are, and you're asking, how are we robbing you? And God answers them. He says, you're robbing me of the offerings and of the 10% that belongs to me. So he's telling them, you've got away from doing what I told you to do. And he says, you're robbing me. He says, it belongs to me. That's why your whole nation is under a curse. I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. And then I will open the windows of heaven, and I will flood you with blessing after blessing. I will also stop locusts from destroying your crops and keeping your vineyards from producing. Everyone of every nation will talk about how I have blessed you and about your wonderful land. I, the Lord all-powerful, have spoken. So this is a verse in Malachi that you may have heard before, but I just want to bring out two points from this, which really strikes me. The first thing is that God says the tithes and offerings belong to him. Isn't that interesting? You know, this morning I woke up and I just felt led to read Mark chapter 12. And when I read it, I just started laughing, because they were trying to test Jesus. And they said to Jesus, should we pay taxes? Because they're just trying to trick him into something. And so Jesus said, give me a coin. So they gave him the coin, and he looked and he said, whose image is on this? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give unto God what belongs to God. You know, so you and I know that, I know, whatever income I get, some of that belongs to the government. It's taxes, right? If I know what's good for me, or there's consequences. But what we don't realize is some of it belongs to God. It's not an option, honestly, to me, or from according to the Word of God. It belongs to him. So we return it to him. And he says, when we don't, we rob it, right? That's pretty strong. So the first thing I see is the tithe belongs to God. The second thing I see, which is actually so encouraging, God challenges us to test him. He says, go ahead, test me. See if I want, if you do what I tell you to do, if you bring the tithes, if you bring the offering, see if I won't do what I promised you. So take that challenge. I love that challenge, because that means that God is willing We know he is, but he's saying, watch me fulfill my promises in your life. Watch me do what you can't do on your own. And so I encourage you today, when you give, give with faith. Give first of all in obedience, because it belongs to God. And give with believe God. One quick thing I'll say, Nadine, our daughter Nadine, she was a new nurse, and a job was posted for a managerial position, and she didn't feel qualified because she was she didn't have the experience, but she had the boldness to stick her head in the door and say, "Do you think I should apply for that position?" And the lady said, "You are just what we're looking for." And she applied for that and bumped her salary up because of the position, jumped years ahead in her hourly rate because she was bold enough to say, "I'm going to just trust God." Amen? And so I encourage you to just test God. Just take him at his challenge. Amen? And be obedient. So as you're getting ready to give, going to pray. Those that are giving online, thank you. There are many people that give, recurring giving. There are people that give that we haven't seen you in a long time. We want to see you. Thank you for giving anyway. And Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is true. We take you at your word. Father, we're not believing you to just survive. Amen. We're not believing you to just pay our bills this month. Yes. We're believing you for to be debt-free. We're believing you to be mortgage-free. We're believing you to have more than enough. Lord. Father, we're believing you not just to pay off our own house, but to pay off somebody else's house. We're believing you for more.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen. I know you've got a couple of announcements. I just want to announce something as we go ahead and receive the offering. If you have a card that you filled out, just drop it in there. We appreciate it. We have a women's networking event coming up on February the 18th. It's a Friday evening. I just want to say to you that this woman, ladies, we don't get many opportunities to get together. This is more than just a business networking meeting. This is a woman's fellowship. It also gives us the opportunity for us to get to know other ladies, to get to know what other people in our church do. You know, we can collaborate. There are things that we can do. It's on spelt wrong. Going to be changed, right, Mo? February the 18th at 7 p.m. If you want to present your business, you're going to get 2 minutes. We're going to have food and fellowship. But if you want to present your business or your ministry, woman, if you have a business, you just like to let us know what it is you do. Show us your website, your whatever it is. You can have 2 minutes. It's $20 if you want to be a presenter. Just let us know your business. It's a great way for you to network with other business people. And if you just want to attend, it's a donation of $5. Just to cover the food, and we are going to, all proceeds are going to go to Hannah's house, which is a mission for this month. So Gloria Lahosky, Gloria, wave your stand up, Gloria. If you want to be involved, you want to present, don't wait any longer. We need some information from you. Gloria will be in the lobby and see her afterwards. And the rest of you ladies, please make a note of that on your calendar. We'd love to have your fellowship with us. Abel asked me to remember prayer this Thursday night, 7 p.m. upstairs here. Come and pray with us. You can come and pray for, they usually pray for 2 hours. You can come for half an hour, the full time, whatever you like. You can stay when we leave. You can do whatever, right? We're going to have prayer. And then just to mention, we'll give you more details next week. Joey and Jennifer, wave Joey. There's Joey at the back. They're going to have a Super Bowl party at their house. And we are inviting everybody. So you don't mind, do you? Well, I just want to give you that opportunity because there's some guys that are, or ladies that are want to get together with some people. And they have opened their home and they're going to have a Super Bowl party. So we'll tell you a little bit more about it. That's 2 Sundays from now. And my son-in-law was telling me that cheapest ticket was like $6,000 that he could get, right? Didn't he say
I wish I had that. I meant to send that picture. I saw a picture on Facebook, and it was of these fans at a football game. Did anyone see it? And they were sitting outside covered in snow. They were all in the stands, covered in snow, watching the football game, like with hats and scarves and jackets, and snow everywhere all over them. I thought, imagine the day when people go to church like that. It didn't stop them from going to the football. Imagine when people are that committed, man, they go sit out there in the snow to watch football. Praise God. I like your little list. I see you wrote here. I like your little list, Jill, you wrote on the back of your outline. You wrote a list of names of people that you're going to invite to church, right? Is it it's Nadine. Is that what that is, Nadine? I like upstairs neighbor, Chance. I like it. Make a list of who you're going to invite to church. Make a list who you're going to invite. And then finally, I want to mention that we've started up Connect Groups are back in season. If you haven't joined up with the Connect Group, fill out this card. Please go to the counter in the lobby, the black table. I want our Connect Group leaders back there. We've got Abel's running a Connect Group in Jupiter. And then who else is in Jupiter? Mark and Stacy have a Connect Group in Jupiter. And then Tom and Anna have a Connect Group in Stuart. And Muff and Sam have a Connect Group in West Palm Beach. And who else am I? Jennifer and Joey have a Connect Group in West Palm, kind of out in the acreage, right? And so I want to really encourage you, man. That's a place to make great friends, be encouraged every week, be built up. A Connect Group's very different to church because it's much more about participation, sharing what God's saying to you and asking questions and fellowship. So if you fill out that card, it says Connect Group, and give it in at the table, and we'll get you to the closest one nearby you. Lord, we thank you today that we can be bold in our faith. We thank you that we can be fearless, even in the face of danger. Why? Because the Lord is our helper. The Lord is with us. We thank you, Lord, for your angels that protect us wherever we go. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead and you guide us. We thank you, Lord, for your favor that surrounds us like a shield. And Lord, we thank you for filling us with boldness. Thank you, Lord, that we will speak for you at every opportunity. In Jesus' name, say, I am bold to speak for the Lord every opportunity I get, in Jesus' name. We love you. God bless you. Have a great, great week, everyone. We'll see you next Sunday. Bring somebody with you. Amen.